Pastor Joe, would you come now and preach the Word of God to us?
Will you turn in your Bibles with me this morning to Psalm 64? I'd like to finish up what we began a couple of weeks ago. Psalm 64, in order to maintain the context of this, I'd like to read the entire psalm. So beginning in verse 1, will you please follow along as I read out loud? The psalmist David writes, "Hear my voice, O God, in my meditation. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Hide me from the secret plots of the wicked, from the rebellion of the workers of iniquity, who sharpen their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the blameless. Suddenly they shoot at him and do not fear. They encourage themselves in an evil matter. They talk of laying snares secretly. They say, 'Who will see them?' They devise iniquities. We have perfected a shrewd scheme. Both the inward thought and the heart of man are deep. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly they shall be wounded. So he will make them stumble over their own tongue. All who see them shall flee away. All men shall fear and shall declare the work of God, for they shall wisely consider his doing. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory." God's rule over his creation is supreme. He has no rival, not in heaven nor on earth. And what he has decreed, as we have considered over these past several weeks, most certainly will be accomplished. We see this certainty being played out in numerous areas of this life, which gives us confidence that this is true. We see it being played out in enough ways that we become convinced when we read texts and passages like this that these things are most certainly true. We see the certainty, the reality of death. We know the sting of death, the pain that comes with death, that separation, how it touches us so deeply, how we are struck with a sense of the wrongness of death, that it hurts us, it pains us like nothing else. We see the consequence for our actions is certain, that there is a fixed consequence to every action, just as certainly as to every action there is a reaction, an equal reaction. And these things lead us to conclude that the judgment of God on the wicked is also a certain thing. "But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly they shall be wounded, so he will make them stumble over their own tongue. All who see them shall flee away. All men shall fear and declare the work of God, for they shall wisely consider his doing." David's son, Solomon, who is the complement to David. David, who God said is a man after my own heart, the apple of my eye. David's heart was fully after God. And Solomon, his son, took that fondness, that passion that David had to follow God, to pursue him with all of his heart and soul and mind and strength. And he meditated on it. And the wisdom of God consumed Solomon so that he was able to say the many truisms that we have in the book of Proverbs. And in Proverbs 16, Solomon says, "The Lord has made all things for his own purpose." That is to say, they answer the end for which he created them. "The Lord has made all things for his own purpose. Yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Even the wicked for the day of judgment. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly they shall be wounded." This is their appointed end. From all eternity, these are those that God has decreed would be the objects of His just punishment. Everything that God has created has its own end and its own object, its own reason for being where it is and such as it is. By God's decree, according to His infinite wisdom, His eternal and infinite contemplation. Everything that is by His direct decree. And it demonstrates the many aspects, it manifests His eternal infinite nature and character, His goodness, His wisdom. And all of them together tend toward, they work for accomplishing His glory. Solomon wrote of that as well. When he says in the book of Ecclesiastes, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up what has been planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain, time to lose, a time to keep, a time to throw away, a time to sow, a time to tear, a time to keep silence, a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. But in all of these things, God has decreed them for His express purpose of accomplishing what He has decreed. The point of this passage in particular that we are considering this morning, we see that there is a time fixed, it is certain, in which God will bring an end to the wicked. That He will use the wicked to demonstrate His just judgments. God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Everything is appointed by God for His purpose to bring glory to Him and for the good, the express good of His elect. He has foreordained whatever comes to pass. There is a purpose for everything under heaven, Solomon says. A time that is fixed for the execution of it. John Gill said, this is true of all creatures and things, though especially men are appointed by the Lord regarding their temporal estate, their birth, the time of their birth, with all of the circumstances surrounding that birth, the place where they'll live, their calling, their station in life, as well as their usefulness. All adverse and prosperous dispensations, their death with all the events leading to it, and so likewise, all things respecting their spiritual and eternal estate, the choice of them to salvation, their redemption by Christ, the time of their coming to Him, the time of His coming for us, of His sufferings and His death on our account, as well as all the circumstances that pertain to it, the conversion of God's elect, the time of it, the place of it, the means of it, these were all according to the purpose of God, as are also their times of affliction, temptation, desertion, joy, and comfort, all of these things ordained by God. So in a word, the final state of all men, good and bad, is fixed by God, and all of this for himself, to answer his end, the end that he has determined for every living thing. All creatures are made to answer his design. His design in making them, the laws of their creation that govern their existence, the particular circumstances that he established that lead and guide them in what we consider to be a winding way. But to God, they are perfectly straight. They are leading exactly to that end that he has determined. To us, it is a marvelous thing. We scratch our head. We shake our head in amazement and wonder. But we must settle our hearts to this one thing, dear ones, that in spite of how our lives twist and turn, they are going directly and specifically to that end that God has determined. And so too, the end of the wicked. According to our consideration this morning, the demise of the wicked is as fixed as the salvation of the elect. God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly they shall be wounded. The wicked have all had their day in the sun, so to speak, and have had their opportunity to shoot their arrows at the righteous or at righteousness, or to shake their collective fists in the face of God, denying, resisting, rejecting what he has clearly, plainly decreed and commanded. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. The Lord has made all things for his purpose, Solomon said, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. And in this day of evil for the wicked, God brings their own wickedness back on their heads. Their wickedness becomes their own undoing. Suddenly they shall be wounded, so he will make them stumble over their own tongue, where they have plotted wickedness, evil against others, they will trip and stumble over that very thing that their hearts plotted, their tongue schemed. The insanity of sin is that men think that they can sin with impunity, and no one sins with impunity. All sins carry their own punishment in their consequence, as well as rousing the indignation and just judgment of God. They shall be wounded suddenly. It makes their heads spin to see how quickly their sin is exposed in that evil and wicked day. Can you believe what has happened in these last few weeks within the Obama administration, as scandal after scandal has rocked it? Fast and Furious, which they tried so hard to cover up and still are. Right on the heels of that, the Benghazi cover-up. And then the IRS targeting conservative groups, and then the NSA scandal has been revealed. And now this week we learn that our own government is using drones to spy on our own people. When did we ever okay that? This is a government by the people, for the people. When did you ever okay that? This is a violation of the Fourth Amendment. But all these things are very dramatic demonstrations of the judgment and justice of God. Suddenly they shall be wounded. All of a sudden we hear nothing coming out of President Obama's mouth here in this country, although we did happen to catch a speech of his that he made to a group of young people in Ireland, where he compared private Catholic education and private Protestant education to the segregation that occurred in this country. This man's wickedness will not stop. It will not end. He is a shame and a blight to this nation. Suddenly they shall be wounded. And so if you're here this morning and you think you're getting away with your sin, make no mistake, the judgment of God is hanging over your head now, at this moment, and will prove to be your undoing. There will be a day of reckoning, and it will be your own sin that is your hangman, so to speak. As it says here, He will make them stumble over their own tongue. Makes us think, remember, the wicked Haman who was hanged on the gallows that he had built for righteous Mordecai. Makes us think of Daniel's oppressors who presented his case to the emperor, trying to have him destroyed, thrown to the lions. But the very destruction that they plotted against Daniel proved to be their undoing when the king had them thrown into the lion's den where they were eaten while Daniel was spared. And even though sinners strengthen themselves and they strengthen and encourage each other in their sin, they can never escape the judgment of God. They encourage themselves in an evil matter. They talk of laying snares secretly, but eventually they're exposed. That which is done in the dark and in secret will be shouted from the rooftops, and that's what we have happening right now. And they've gone after Snowden, Edward Snowden, the revealer of many of these secrets, saying he is an enemy of the state. Regardless of what this man's intents were, and I don't know whether he was malicious, I heard his interview, I heard his lips speak these words, and he was no enemy of the state. He may have done this wrong. He might have gone about it a wrong way, but this man truly wanted to make us aware of what the government was doing secretly. And now they've gone after him. They've targeted him to make him a worker of evil, trying to dodge the fact that they are the ones who did this. All he did is spoke the truth. Sin will be revealed one way or another. If Edward Snowden did this sinfully, still, God used it to expose what our government has been doing in secret and in hiding, in darkness. All who see them shall flee away. These are not honorable people that we're talking about. They will abandon their so-called friends in an instant when things go bad. We have seen so many within the Obama cabinet stepping down from their posts. They don't stick with each other through thick and thin, through good times and bad. They are good time Charlie friends only. And here I would pause to say one of the clearest displays, manifestations of righteousness is in commitment. How committed are you to your various and respective duties, to your posts? To your spouse, to your children, to your parents, to your siblings, to your friends, to this church, to Christ, to your co-workers, to your employer, to your employees. Proverbs says, "He that maketh many friends does it to his own destruction." But there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. The literal meaning is something to the effect that if you make many friends, you're not a very discerning person. And they will end up being your ruin. Because if you are lacking discernment in the friends that you choose, proves that you're a fool. And that foolishness will eventually be your unhinging. But there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. A faithful friend, Solomon says again in another proverb, who can find? And so which kind are you, dear ones? Ready to abandon your post at the slightest provocation? Or are you resolved, by the help of God's grace, to be as solid and as steady as a rock, immovable regardless of what comes your way. These things indicate what your perspective of your respective posts are. How committed to it are you? How much do you see the calling of God on your life, the hand of God over your life, in your particular callings, in your various and respective posts? How worthwhile is it? You willing to venture all to stay true to it to the end? All men shall fear and shall declare the work of God, for they shall wisely consider His doing. That is to say, those who are understanding, when they see these things, will wisely see the hand of God in it. Unless we are always working to see God's providences in the events of our lives, it is not likely that we will profit from them. However, when we endeavor, when we labor to see the hand of God in all of the events of our lives, it increases our wisdom. It enables us to process things in a more upright fashion, not giving in to despair and feelings of hopelessness. Rather, it fills us with a sense of trust and confidence in God. My life and my times are in Your hands. My God, I wish them there. Everything You do is good. David says in Psalm 119, O God, O Lord, You are good, and everything You do is good. My life is in Your hands. My Lord, I wish them there. When the righteous see God sink the wicked under the weight of their own careless, sinful acts, they will rejoice and be glad in the Lord. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and trust in Him. And all the upright in heart shall glory. We are not glad to see the ruin and misery of our fellow creatures, but we are glad to see the fulfillment of God's word and the cause of the injured innocent put to rights. And so, dear ones, I would say, remember these few things. God makes use of the wicked to execute His own righteous vengeance even as they begin to attack each other. And He will be glorified in their demise at last. Also, though sinners strengthen themselves and one another, they shall not escape God's judgment. They encourage themselves in an evil matter. They talk of laying snares secretly. They say, who will see them? They devise iniquity, saying, we have perfected a shrewd scheme. Who's going to find us out? Who's going to catch us up? But their wickedness will be their undoing. God will certainly expose them. And then remember also, dear ones, that we were each here born under nature's night, and as such, we were once enemies of God. And it is only by the mercy and truth of God and Jesus Christ that the sins of believers are taken away and the power of sin that ruled over them is broken. God broke that power of sin over us, or we would still refuse to taste and perish in our sin. And we remember that He has all hearts in His hands. Even the hearts of kings, it says, again in Proverbs, they are like water, and He directs them wherever He will. And He can make our enemies be at peace with us, though they hate us, though they would love to see our destruction and our demise. God can make our enemies be at peace with us. He is able to subdue their wickedness, their evil and malicious intents, if for no other reason than they don't want to be exposed for the hypocrites that they truly are. Sometimes we marvel at the riches and the success and the prosperity and the seeming ease of the wicked. But dear ones, it will not last. It is short and fleeting, and they surely find no lasting satisfaction in it. But you, dear ones, though you may never be great by this world's standards, though you may never be rich or famous by this world's standards, remember that even a small estate that God would give us, when it is gained honestly, will serve you better than a great estate that's achieved through wicked ends and wicked means. That He, God, will enable you to find more satisfaction and happiness in a humble life than these wicked men will ever have in their extravagance, opulence, and luxury. And then, dear ones, remember this. If men, if you will make God's glory your end, His will your rule, then He will direct your steps by His grace and His Spirit. And all of God's people said, Amen. Will you bow your head with me? Father, we are thankful to You for Your goodness and Your faithfulness to us, Lord, that even when we are faithless, You remain faithful because You cannot deny Yourself. And we count on that, Lord. That's our confidence. That's the surest place of repose for our souls. That is where we can find peace and rest for our hearts. And I pray, Lord, that our trust and our confidence of You would not be shaken when we go through trials and afflictions and difficulties, but rather, Lord, that we would see Your hand, that we would remember Your goodness, that we would be more convinced of it with each passing day. By Your grace and Your mercy, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.